Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Forky.
I'm trash.
Got to give it up for Rick Camp, who just absolutely
sky point for the men.
Nailed it. That's my takeaway from this one. Oh, boy. And a gloomy, gloomy Monday out there in Chicago right now, befitting the mood over a Bears team that is just giving you no reason to believe. Lawrence Holmes takes over now as he gets set to go on a built Ford tough Bears Monday on the score.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Lawrence.
How are you?
Can I tell you my favorite part of last night?
Go ahead.
It was flipping around, as I always do, but I end up coming back to the football after show on NBC Sports Chicago because you guys do one hell of a job.
Thank you.
You had just finished up the Matt Nagy presser, and the camera cuts, and usually, whenever the Nagy presser stops in the football after show, it's a quick shot, quick one shot of Lawrence there in the middle chair, who has a very quick response to Nagy, but then deftly he'll shovel it over to one of his experts. They're collected in the chairs.
That's the gig.
That's what a point guard does.
Correct.
And that's what my man does.
And you keep their bad shot takers from taking bad shots.
Amen
that's
to that. Thing, keeps right?
Yeah, well, I was on my Russell Westbrook yesterday.
But Lawrence goes, it ends. Lawrence goes, there you go, Bears fans. Matt Nagy says your team had a great week of practice. And then he's done. And nobody on stage knows what to do because Lawrence just took a shot and the camera pulls back and it's all five of them just kind of sitting there going, oh, God, Lawrence just did that. And then Kreutz, Olin just takes the ball and then starts heading off with it. Like, he's got it. Don't worry. Everything's fine. Olin starts going. And then you guys are all right back into it because you're all pros you knew were doing. But watching that happen was freaking hysterical.
I don't know if there's a way that we can do it. And maybe – yes, I do. I should talk with my bosses over there. I don't think you could have our mics up. But we should be in a double box when Nagy's talking. Because sitting with those guys as Nagy's talking, man, Olin was as mad as I've seen him in this realm.
You could see the fury.
He was getting real. Yeah. And when Mitch talked, he got real mad. When they bust tossed Anthony Miller. And it's funny because when the play happened, Forte had said to me, he's like, well, here's the thing. Miller actually made an adjustment on the play. And Mitch threw to the spot instead of looking to see where the man is and throwing to him. Here's my other issue. Before we really get things started at noon, I get that there are people that have some issues with Anthony Miller. I'm one of them because he is sometimes selfish when it comes to penalties. I don't think that he's got a full grasp of everything that they want him to do. But here's the thing. It's bad coaching if you keep putting him out there. If you have a player that you feel like your quarterback can't trust, he's not in the right spot, and you saw him have an alignment issue yesterday too. If you have a player that you can't trust, it's the coach's job to either A, coach him up to the point where you feel comfortable with him on the field, or B, keep him off the field. But this is another one of those guys that you kind of traded up for, and so he has to play. There's a lot of things that are wrong with this Bears thing systemically. And because of how good the defense was at taking the ball away from people and scoring last year, it covered a ton of stuff up until we got to the end, until there was a book on Matt Nagy. And then defenses were able to go, okay, we know what you're doing. We'll play drop eight on your quarterback because your quarterback doesn't know what to do when he sees that many people dropped in coverage. And now, with his defense, you now have two examples immediately of what to do against your defense. You know how you can neutralize Khalil Mack? I'm going to run it right up the middle. Hard for big fella to make a play when I'm gashing you up the middle.
Or off tackle.
Or off tackle. And in pass plays, in pass protection, I don't have to, now that Akeem Hicks is here, I don't have to allocate resources inside. I can put two or three people on Khalil Mack, and then that be that.
Transition on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday is brought to you by Ford and the Built Ford Tough F-150. To me, the lingering mental image of this is the absolute panic, the terror in the eyes of the Bears sideline when the headsets went out.
Dan, you have a third-year quarterback who has a wristband.
With the plays written on it, literally.
With right. plays written on it. So I said, how many plays are on there? Forte is like 40. You can get about 40 plays on there if you hustle.
40 on the whole thing or just on the one?
Yeah, on the little thing. Okay, you can get like 40 plays on there.
It's like what they give you before the physics final and you can write all the formulas down.
I bombed that you never even used.
But we're talking about a third-year quarterback that was completely just paralyzed when the headset went out. That's not good. Then you have a coach that is in a panic on the sideline.
Oh my God, what are we going to do?
He can't talk the quarterback through it. A third-year quarterback shouldn't have to be panicked.
Run something, Forky.
Run a play. Run. What's your best run play? What's your favorite RPO? It's third and two. Make a play. There was so much ridiculousness with Nagy yesterday. It really bothered me. The good week of practice stuff, we've heard it before. We've heard it from other coaches. We've heard it from some of the more recent coaches in Bears history when they talk about good weeks of practices. You had 2 weeks to prepare for the Saints. They had 1 week to prepare for you. And on the first drive of the game, they saw something in your special teams. We'll run an inside game and block the punt. Clean. That guy
got
to the kicker clean.
Yep.
So what were you doing in the 2 weeks that you had to prepare for them? The self-scouting aspect of it is questionable. When they talk about themselves scouting themselves, it's questionable. Because now there have been more than one. You had all season to prepare for Green Bay once. You didn't do it. You had all season to prepare for Green Bay twice. You didn't do it. Bye week last year. Bye week this year. What the f*** are you doing?
For the life of me, I can't figure out what they decided they wanted to do after this bye week. There's nothing. There's nothing. The only thing I can figure is that they wanted to get the ball to Tariq Cohen in short yardage passing. And I don't think that that's what they wanted
to do.
Well,
they succeeded in the short yardage part with nine catches.
They damn sure did.
For 19 yards.
I don't think they wanted to do it. I think that's what they was forced to. I mean, there's so many instances of defenses forcing the spot the ball has to go to in this offense. There's no playmaking here. There's Allen Robinson with a hope and a prayer, and that's it. And missing Anthony Miller on seam routes over and over and over again.
That throw across the field,
brutal.
He can't make.
Brutal.
And it's sad. Like, it's watching yesterday's offense play was really, really sad because I don't know where your hope for them to get better is coming from. And when you add up all the pieces that they have either added or extended on that offense, there's some real problems. Because if you have now said that you can't run the ball because of your offensive line, you invested. You invested in Cody White here and thought that the best position for him to play was guard, not center. You invested a draft pick in a guy and started him. You gave extensions to Massey and Leno. This is what I mean. Everything about this whole deal is not great and is going to be difficult to unwind.
Plenty of people in this town are familiar with what it looks like when a front office doubles down on the mistakes that they've made. We see this in the NFL too, and it's with Marcus Mariota, it's with Jameis Winston. The gutsy thing here is to change course. I don't know how many options they've got, how many other courses they could set over the next couple of weeks, but those options open up quite a bit after this season, and it is, I think, absolutely fair to call into question what other courses they're willing to take.
That's the one positive for this. And you guys had Robert Mays on, and he laid out the case really well.
Oh, the economic timing issue?
The one positive that you can take away from Mitch being bad is at least you know.
Yeah, it happened now and not next year.
And you don't give him $100 million. Don't
Hell,
give
fifth
him
fifth year option. I mean, not, that's in question.
Just be done with it. There should be this offseason, they should bring in someone, even if it is Marcus Mariota.
Fine.
Someone who can compete with him, and you should draft someone. But the problem is, and I've been on this and people get mad at me, I don't trust the guy who picks the quarterbacks. I just don't. And when I look at it, it's a small sample size, but he gave that idiot Mike Glennon $20 million, and he moved picks to draft this guy. If he would have just drafted Mitch at 3, I'm not as angry about it. But it's the draft capital and then the not wanting to have Deshaun Watson. And I'm not going to do that whole show today, mm-hmm. but that's what his evaluation, him and the evaluation process is a problem for me. And now you got to wonder if did you get the coach right? Because the coach doesn't seem willing or capable of figuring out a way to adapt to what other teams are doing to him.
He's been out-coached too many times this early.
He got out-coached by the laughingstock of the NFL 2 weeks ago. Had 2 weeks to prepare for a team that was playing without 3 out of their 4 best offensive players. And gave you that.
And he keeps saying the right things. He keeps saying, we'll fix it. We're going to get to the why part or whatever it is. We know what's wrong. Ruthless self-scouting. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. We know what we see. And this is all through the summer. We know what we're seeing in practice. We're watching practice. We know what we're seeing.
We don't need a preseason because we have crackling practices that you guys don't get a chance to see. And we brought
New
out
from
the
Kellogg's.
Lights. All of these things that we do. We don't have to play in the preseason because our guys are ready. Your quarterback needs more time than anybody. And all you've done is limit him. All you've done is, no, Mitch, no. And I wonder if the reason that you're doing that is because you don't want people to see him.
Well, that's the debate that Connor and I were having. Even if you decided he still can be reclaimed, there's still something there. The book is not entirely closed on his future. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you cultivate that. I don't know how you show that, what structure you put in place to try to make that happen. Because as you're minimizing his responsibilities, as you're cutting off his reads to half field stuff, limiting his responsibility, all that does is send the message to him that you don't think he's good enough.
You're listening to WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. How many quarterbacks do they have to make that quarterback better? Count the quarterbacks that they have
right
in the room and on their coaching staff, including their head coach, to try and make the guy better, and he's not better.
He's worse.
There's another point, Dan.
He's worse.
He's absolutely
worse. I got
worse.
A question for you. Name me the offensive player on the Bears that has improved between last year and this year.
Rashad Coward.
Only because
you asked for a
he's
name.
Actually playing.
Only because someone was real bad and injured.
Yeah. Allen Robinson.
No, he's
Allen Robinson was this player before he got injured.
I think he's healthier and therefore better, but I'm really just splitting hairs to try and find something to give you.
Who's the player under this
nobody.
On this offense
there's,
that got better?
There's nobody.
Tariq Cohen
there's nobody.
Under John Fox was averaging 5.2 yards per touch. Under Dow Loggins and John Fox. Under Nagy this season, almost just 4 yards per touch.
Look at the spots he's getting him into. Look at the places he's putting him in. He's been in like 3 dangerous situations, and one of them was Chase Daniel making the correct read on, what was it, a 15-yard route that he cuts in the linebacker on and jumps it out.
They're not far from the look that Patrick Lindsay was giving Joe Flacco. Did you see some of that stuff? Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Some of the looks that Flacco was getting from receivers, like, dude.
And
look, what are you doing to me? What are you trying to do to me?
And last week, it was Troy Aikman that was pounding Joe Flacco, and he is now pounding Mitchell Trubisky too. It's bad.
Oh yeah.
It's bad, and the whole thing is bad. And I heard you guys talking with Rich Campbell, and I would push back a little bit on there aren't signs because
about instability.
Yeah. Because All I heard the coach say yesterday was, well, don't let anything happen on the outside with media. We're not going to let media. And what happens?
They take to Twitter.
They ran to Twitter. They ran to it, whether it was Tariq Cohen or Allen Robinson, ran to pick fights with members of the media and anyone else who has anything bad to say. And this is after, of course, the situation with Akeem Hicks and Brad Biggs. They may have some turds on their team. But we're supposed to listen to the coach and we're supposed to say, oh, no, everything's fine because he went 12-4. Last year's Bears team doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And everyone needs to wipe it from their memory because this is what you have now. And under the way things have gone through the first three games, you have not seen improvement from anywhere. In other words, this is what I'm going to do on the show today.
Have fun.
Oh, boy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.